A long time ago, I would not have invested the time and energy that God has invested in my life.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that song. Instead of trying to repay Him, I'm learning to simply obey Him. Well, I'm going to try to preach now.
Yes.
On the very topic that we have been talking about tonight. And we're going to launch off in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. When you found your place, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
The title of this message tonight is "The Love of God." I spent some time trying to gather my thoughts together, and this is the only thing that I couldn't get off my heart and off my mind. It's not a very long message, and I'm sure all of y'all say amen to that. Not that I ever preach a very long message. I don't know enough yet to preach a long message. But this thought of the love of God has been radiating my thoughts and life of late. How unexplainable it is and how magnificent it is. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, I thank You for meeting with us already, dear God, and how You've challenged and encouraged us with the singing of Your songs, and how You've already warmed our hearts up, dear God, in thinking about just how good You really are. I do thank You for that, dear God. But now it's time for the preaching of Your Word, dear God. And if there's ever been an insufficient preacher, dear God, he stands here today. But God, I know this, that if You'll touch me, and dear God, if You'll use me, then everybody in this place tonight will get help. And I simply ask that You would do that, dear God. Move me aside, dear God, and speak and preach Your Word. Dear God, we do ask that You would bind every opposing power of hell, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and place a hedge of protection around us.
Amen.
That the service would not be interrupted, dear God, and that, God, Your truths would land right where they need to, dear God. God, will thank You and praise You. And dear God, if there be one here tonight that doesn't know You, would tonight be the night, dear God, that they finally surrender all?
Yes.
May Your conviction be stronger than their resistance.
Yes.
We thank You, Lord. We ask these things in the precious, holy, blood-stained name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. My throat is a little rough tonight, so you may have to excuse me. But the love of God, have you ever really meditated on that truth, the love of God? And just how great and magnificent it really is? Well, obviously the first thing that came to mind was God's love towards sinners. We were talking about it this morning in Sunday school class, that when Christ died on Calvary, He died and paid the price for every sin that had ever been committed, every sin that would ever be committed. And I use the illustration of Hitler and the vile, wicked man that he was. Christ paid his way. Think of any number of individuals throughout history and the horrendous crimes that were committed. Christ paid their way. Even the Jews and others, as he hung on the cross, his own words out of his mouth was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he willingly gave up his life there at Calvary, that you and I and everybody else would have an opportunity to come to know him. The only thing that hinders that is us. See, there was nothing else that God could have done. See, oftentimes in our lives, whenever we go to sort through what we are and what we aren't going to do, it's dependent on what we believe that we are capable of, or what we believe that we have the ability or means to provide. But see, when God does something, there is no limitations to that. God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to walk a perfect life, and to die a horrendous death. Now, I've heard the illustration used, and I've used it myself, that it would be very, very difficult for me to give up one of my children for anybody. But I don't know if you know this or not, but my children are not perfect. Matter of fact, they can be downright troublesome. And one reason that I shave my head, so that I can't pull my hair out. But the truth is, I love them dearly. But you see, the Son of God was perfect in every way and is still perfect in every way. And yet lived in perfection. Everything about Him was perfection. And yet one day He decided to give it all up. To feel pain as we feel pain. To feel hunger as we feel hunger. You see, literally, God and Christ gave up everything that they possibly could for the sinner. Think about that. There was no physical pain that had ever been felt. They'd never cut themselves. They'd never hungered. And yet willingly Christ, He chose to do this. He was not forced. He was not made. And yet He chose to give up everything that we ever hope to gain. He gave it up willingly. For everyone. And with that being said, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, He literally gave up more than we could ever conceive that you might have the opportunity to accept Him. No strings attached. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to earn it. You just have to accept it. And yet God Himself gave the best that He had. No greater sacrifice has ever been made. So we see God's love towards sinners. That word commendeth means to place or bring together. Notice that verse. God commendeth His love toward what? Us. So when we were at our vilest, wicked as we could be moments, Christ took His love and took us and made a way that they could be brought together for eternity. Now, all of that is very true and very evident. But that has not been the main thought on my heart and life of late. See, oftentimes in my life, and I'll give you a personal illustration before we move on. I ask myself, or God, on a regular basis, God, how can you love me? God, why do you love me? Before we get into this second point, and I miss this, why is it so easy for us to believe that when we were at our worst, lost and undone and on our way to hell, that God loved us then, but He can't love us now? Now, there's never going to be a point in which we deserve it. There's never going to be a point in which we can earn it or repay Him. It is impossible. And we work in vain trying to do so. But God loves us just as much now as He did back then. Maybe even more so. In the fact that we are joint heirs. And maybe the love is not greater, but the access in which we have to God and everything He has to offer is so much greater. See, when we're lost, we have access to one thing, and that is salvation if we willingly accept it. After we get saved, we have access to all the riches of glory. He's our personal physician. Brother Farley, I'm sure you could testify of some miracles you've seen in your physical healing over the last few days. I'm sure that many in here could testify to some personal miracles that they've seen in situations that they should have been dead in. And maybe even walked away without a scratch. I know I've heard stories of Brother Jerry laid out, should have died in Vietnam and wound up in hell, but somehow in the midst of everything was picked up.
Amen.
Tyler, I'm sure you've got some of the same. Personally, in my younger days, I've been in countless car wrecks. Many well over 100 miles an hour. Cars flip end over end over end. Nothing left. Have to beat the windows out to get out of the vehicle and walk away without even a scratch. God's love is never ending. God's love is bountiful. And if there's one thing, excuse me, that you need to take from this, if nothing else, don't believe that lie from Satan.
That's right.
That you're too messed up for God to love.
That's right.
See, and I ain't even got to it yet, but we will.
Amen.
The beauty of it being is, we have nothing to do with God's love. He doesn't love you because you met some kind of criteria. And He doesn't love me because there was this one time in my life when I did this. He loves me and he loves you because he's God.
That's right.
And because he is love.
That's right.
Love is of God.
Amen.
We see God's love towards sinners. We see God's love towards saints. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That word, adoption, such a beautiful word. It's a picture of taking one without family and placing them into a different family. And yet, although they had no family, once they are placed with the family, they obtain all benefits that any other heir would have
Amen.
Of that family. It says in verse 18, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." Now, if there's ever been a verse that has blown my mind in the Bible, it's this verse right here. It says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Do you realize that if you have been saved by His grace, that you have just as much access and right to approach the throne of God as Jesus Christ Himself, which is seated at the right hand of the Father? That word joint heir is giving the indication of having the same rights as a heir or the benefits obtained through that lot, which can be heard through inheritance. So if you're saved here tonight, despite the condition of your life and whatever state you may be in, you might be the sorriest rascal that's ever walked the face of this earth. And yet if you've been washed in His blood, then ye are joint heirs with Christ. Why? Because He is God. And God is love.
Yes.
See, where we mess up, and I'm telling y'all, y'all just let me preach to myself for a little while, and y'all just get in where you can. Because that's exactly what I'm doing. I tell myself all the time, why, as if this thing is dependent on me. And yet, it's not. Joint heirs with Christ. To rule and reign all of eternity. If you drop down to verse 32 in Romans chapter 8. "He that spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now there is two illustrations that I could use here. Both are very insignificant in comparison to God's love. I talk about my boys. They're not heads. I don't know why they do what they do. They are typical teenagers. I do try to think back on when I was a teenager, and that does give me some hope. I'm just be honest with you. Despite what they do and how much they may or may not mess up. Let somebody endanger one of them. Let somebody mess with one of them. Instantly, I will be by their side. I will not be a happy camper. Even when they mess up, the love is still there. It's an unconditional love, meaning despite what they do and how they live their lives, I will always love them. My little girl, the same. There is nothing you could do to separate my love from them. And yet, God's love is so much greater, so more abounding and perfect. That word in itself, perfect, is the kind of love that God has for us. See, I'm going to make mistakes with my children. You can ask them and they will testify to that. I've made plenty. God never makes a mistake with His children. And God always loves them in the right way. Handles us in the right way. Treats us in the right way. Despite. You see, you know what I noticed about all that in verse 35? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? None of that had any, what's the word I'm looking for? Specifications on it. That's not the right word, but you get what I'm talking about. It didn't say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation when I'm doing what I'm supposed to? Shall distress when I'm doing what I'm supposed to? No, it simply states the situation, not the dependence on where we stand with Him. See, the point I'm trying to get across is nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can cause Him to love us any less, but should cause us to love Him even the more. Romans chapter 8, drop down to verses 38 through 39. The Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I don't care what you throw in the blank. The Bible plainly states that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I would challenge us all, starting with this preacher right here, to quit trying to figure out why or how or what we've done to deserve it, because all of those answers and questions are null and void. And to simply understand that God loves us with an unconditional, undeserving, perfect love because He is God. And instead of trying to figure out what we have done or what we should do, take our eyes off us and put our eyes on Him and serve Him in a greater capacity. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. I was talking about this in prayer room. God's love depended on how much He gave. He gave it all. How much does your love reflect, or how much does your giving reflect your love towards Christ? I'm not just talking about finances. How much time do you give Him? How much of your life do you give Him? How much of you does Christ literally have? If we're all to be honest about it, I believe we could all stand and say He doesn't have enough.
Amen.
For what all He's done, for what all He's given, shouldn't we be doing more for Him?
Amen.
And this is why. The world may or may not believe on Christ because of what they see us doing. We are the only Bible that most of this world will ever read. Even if you try to sit down with them and show them the Bible, they have no time for it. But the world cannot argue with a changed life. Doing what's right always will get the attention of those around you. You'll never have to say a word. But they will eventually come up and ask. God loves you tonight. God loves me. That makes me smile. Because I sure don't deserve it. Tonight, if you would stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.